When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
And this is The Cinemile, the podcast where we walk home from the movies. We are driving today, admittedly. And we're going to go see a movie I had not heard of until earlier today when Kathy said, do you want to go see this movie with Paul Mescal and Saoirse Ronan? And then I thought, maybe, I guess. And then she said, it's a sci-fi. And I said, when is it on?
But this is what's so sad about the actor's strike, because I would love to see Paul Mescal and Saoirse Ronan on a press tour together. Like, they're like
some of Ireland's finest.
Yeah, like two of the best actors out of Ireland. I'd love to see them talking about a film together. I'd love to see them together. The only thing I saw them do together was they watched one of the Ireland rugby matches together in a pub and put a picture of themselves up, and I feel like that was them being like, we have a movie coming out.
but we can't say it because we're striking. So
it's an awful shame, but I don't know much about it either, to be honest, because of like just the lack of publicity.
I don't want to know anything. I want to go in blind.
I mean, I know it's sci-fi.
Tell me nothing.
The only other thing I know was that it's Gareth Davis who directed it. Do you know him?
No.
He directed that Dev Patel movie, Lion.
Oh, we liked that.
Yeah.
My God, that was a devastating movie.
Yeah, we both liked that. That's all I know about it, to be honest. So we've not much to say. I absolutely love Saoirse Ronan and Paul Mescal, so I'm thrilled, like really thrilled to see they're in a film together. It's a shame Barry Keoghan isn't in it as well. But 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
It starts in 2 minutes. It's 6:13. It starts in 2 minutes. Just hit a red light. I'm feeling a little nervous. And Kathy ambitiously decided to pre-order some popcorn and drinks in a cinema that I'm not going to name, but is notorious for its ridiculous queues.
What? On a Saturday evening?
For concessions.
There'll be no queues on a Saturday evening.
Oh yeah, of course not. So I'm going straight in. I'm not missing a beat of this. Good luck to you.
Okay, and see you all after we have watched Foe.
You should explain why you sound weird as well.
I just have a very sore throat. So this is the perfect activity for me to be doing.
Bye.
Hearn? Expecting anyone?
I need to have an intimate understanding of your marriage, the good and the bad. I promise it's confidential. It's between you and me.
Do you feel happy here?
Of course I'm happy here. Aren't you?
Do you feel you know how she would react in every situation?
I've always had this fantasy that there's something else out there for me.
Do you want to live mundane lives, or do you want to be part of something special and unique? You've been selected to live up there.
Okay, well, you're wasting your time because we haven't even been on an airplane. She'd hate it.
I should clarify. I'm talking about you here, Junior. Only you.
All right, hello, welcome back. We're in the car. We have seen Foe, starring Paul Mescal and Saoirse Ronan. Kathy, why don't you take the job now of explaining to everyone what this film is about without any spoilers? And there won't be any spoilers, by the way, for anyone who's listening for the first time until I indicate for spoiler street.
Well, so neither of us knew what it was about before we went in, and I think it's probably a good film not to know what it's about, but I'll just say that it's set in some form of dystopian future, as most films are, and Paul Mescal and Saoirse Ronan are a married couple, and a strange man arrives at their house and offers them an interesting proposition.
Ooh, that's an intriguing way to describe it. Yeah, okay. It sounds a bit like Knock at the Cabin.
It does have those kind of vibes.
At the beginning, but it is nothing like that movie,
no.
Really.
And I think we actually shouldn't speak for too long on this one before we get to spoiler street, because there's an awful lot to spoil and I don't want to. But just briefly on the kind of impressions of it. Of course, Paul Mescal and Saoirse Ronan are amazing. I love seeing them together on screen. I think the first 10 minutes of the film I was on such a high of just seeing those two together on screen that like I kind of didn't even care what I was watching. I was very intrigued by the beginning of the film. The longer it went on, I got a little bit concerned about the film, that I thought, oh god, is this actually bad? And then by the end I loved it. So I had quite a roller coaster with this film. Dave, what did you think? Like, top line, and we're gonna really quickly speak before we go to spoiler street.
Yeah, I loved it. It's one of those, it's a real thinker. It's gonna stick with me for a while. I know what you mean. I would describe my experience with the film. I never thought, is this bad? But what I was thinking a lot was, I don't know what's happening. Right? It's one of those films where you're confused by everything that's happening most times. and that's actually, I find that quite a good experience at the cinema, to be out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And yeah, to not really know what's happening.
And it's the kind of film that I thought if I was at home by myself and I'd thrown it on, there was a point where I might have just turned the film off.
Yeah, but I think this is really good. I think it's worth a look. If you're interested in any way, just go in blind. It does all come together very satisfyingly, and it's a real thinker of a movie, it which we'll cover in spoiler street, but it tackles some real interesting and big questions from a sci-fi lens. But this is a very small, very human movie. There's only three actors in the whole thing. And it's all really much set in one location for the most part.
At one point I thought it was based on a play, but then it said at the end it's actually based on a book. But it has the feel of a play, doesn't it?
Yes, very much so.
And what did you think of Paul Mescal and Saoirse Ronan together?
Oh my god, they're amazing. Yeah. They're incredible actors. Now, I will admit to being disappointed when they first both spoke in what I can only describe as a nondescript American accent.
Same! Why couldn't they be Irish? Yeah. I appreciate the story said, however, in America, but
why not just set it in rural Ireland? It would have the same effect.
Now, the same
glamour. We'll talk. I'd like to talk maybe in glamour. There's no glamour in this movie. But we will talk about in spoiler street as to why it makes more sense.
They're both Oscar-nominated actors. Like, they can put on American accents very convincingly. I mean, our American audience can let us know if you think otherwise. I thought both accents sounded very good.
I'll just say I don't know why this needs to be set in nondescript rural America.
I think the American stuff worked for me. We'll get into it. We'll get into it in a minute. And the other actor, Aaron Pierre, I thought was very good. I thought the three of them were very good together. Yeah. However, he should have been Barry Keoghan.
No, he would have been wrong.
He would have been amazing. He'd have been incredible in this role. He's so good in this kind of role.
No, but we'll talk about it more in spoiler street. But that character needs, or this actor brought to it anyway, I think, a real sense of authority and power, but is kind of slightly off. I don't know, Barry Keoghan is too young for that role, I think.
No, he's
younger than them. He's younger than...
No, he's 30. And this dude's 30. I just Googled him.
Oh wow, they're the same age. Okay, but just because you're the same age as someone doesn't mean you can portray a certain type of person on screen. No, I'm not to diss Barry Keoghan, incredible actor. I don't know, but look.
I just think it should have been him, and it would have been my absolute dream.
Just a triple bill of Irish people doing American
exactly.
accents.
Exactly. It's terrible, though. It's terrible. No, because the third guy in an English accent.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, why did he get his own accent?
I don't know. Maybe he's not even English. Maybe he's American. Anyway, I'm devastated for them. They haven't done a press round. And it's terrible for anyone who cares about the Late Late Show not being able to get any good guests since it launched.
This would have been the
Late Late Show's moment. It would have had the two of them on. Come on. We're sitting in a cinema in Cork.
Kelly, what are you talking about? The Late Late Show is on now. Oh, they can't go. Sorry. Right.
That's what I'm saying. We're sitting in a cinema in Cork, opening night, or opening weekend. Two of Ireland's biggest actors are in a film, and there's nobody in the cinema because nobody knows it's out.
It would have been the Late Late Show's best get yet.
Like, I literally Googled the cinema listings earlier, saw this and heard of this, albeit I knew they were coming up in a film together. I by no means knew the name of it, and I by no means it was coming out this weekend.
Yeah. And we have a film podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
So what hope does the average
public
stand?
I'm telling you, it should have been on the late late. It should have been a big deal last night, and I'm devastated for everyone it wasn't. Although we support the writer's strike.
You're right.
I mean, the actor's strike. We support it.
We support
it.
Both strikes, yeah. But one has been resolved. But I will say, you're right. We've got a platform. So go see this movie, please. Actually, go.
Our audience is actually bigger than the Lay Lay's audience as well.
Because see this movie. It is really, really interesting. It has three incredible performances from three great actors. It is a great script. It's very interesting. You'll be pushed out of your comfort zone. You won't know what's going on for three quarters of it, but it's well worth it. Yeah. How's that?
Right, fantastic plug, Dave. And we are being paid by the movie to promote it. We're not. Right, so on to indicate on the spoiler street, please. We will be back in a minute. You may hear an ad. We're back, Dave. Spoilers
for this movie. Right. Firstly, Foe. Why do you think it's called Foe?
I don't know. And when I first told Dave about the movie, he thought it was Foe as in F-A-U-X. And I actually think that would have been a better title.
Oh, yeah, that would have made a lot more sense. So,
Because, and now we're on spoiler street, turn it off. We don't want to spoil this film for you. There's an actual big twist in this film that Dave spoiled for me during the film by guessing it and then whispering it to me, which is the thing that you know you're not allowed to do.
But I had to.
You didn't. I had to livid that
really?
You didn't give me the moment, my own moment,
sorry,
to guess the twist. And I'm livid. And
it's fun to just guess these things.
It's
if
fun.
We were at home, we'd be guessing it. We do that at home. You'd just shout out, oh, he's the robot.
You
whatever.
Ruined this film for me.
I'm sorry. I really
anyway,
sorry.
So spoilers.
But
spoilers,
the problem is
spoilers.
If I'd said, but then if it happened to the end, if we got to the end and then I said I actually guessed it halfway through, would you believe me?
I wouldn't care, because I'd be concerned about my own viewing experience. Anyway, I think the thing is she's sleeping with the enemy.
He's the
to
foe?
Quote my favourite movie.
Is it?
He's well, I
really
don't know.
He's foe though. Anyway.
But then who's the foe?
I don't know. That's why I said I don't understand the title.
Well, because what I love about this film is there's bits of it that I found confusing and I didn't particularly like, and it kind of almost distracted me from the film, right? And I appreciate it's adapted from a book and that's a complicated thing to do. So they're like, so Paul Mescal is going to space, right? And because he's going to space, and nominally, albeit this won't be the reason, they say, oh, we'll make like a clone of you that can live at home with your wife to keep her company, right?
Which they just, your man mentioned offhand.
That's
at the dinner,
I mean.
Halfway through the movie.
They spent
and I'm
so
like,
long.
Wait, what?
Before they got, and before laughed. They got to that bit, that's when I was like, this movie's really crap. Because just get to space or don't get to space, what am I watching? And then I love the film completely pivoted and had nothing to do with space at all and was all about the clone. And I think if we'd seen a trailer, actually, that might have gotten me through the first half of the movie, because I'd have been like kind of dying for the clone bit to come on. But in a way, not knowing it, was like when it happened, we both turned to each other and went, what the fuck?
We just laughed.
We literally just laughed out loud.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we're making a clone of you.
So in a way, I wish they'd spent way less time with the space thing that didn't matter and kind of got into the clone thing a bit sooner. But now, so the clone is your partner gets cloned, but they're more like when you first met them, they're like your partner at the beginning of your relationship, not your partner at your existing point in time.
Yeah,
now,
which
that's
is a really it's a really interesting idea.
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of that Black Mirror episode with Donald Gleeson and Hayley Atwell. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
So I guess minor spoilers for that, but that deals with a similar idea but in a much different lens, where that is, it's the same situation, but it's your spouse's online sort of personified.
Oh,
whereas, whereas this is, as you said, a snapshot of an earlier version, or the best parts of your...
I don't think it's necessarily earlier. I think what it's interesting is, I think it's like what your partner would be like if they hadn't been worn, how they would view you if they hadn't been worn down by spending like 10 years with you.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah,
you're fresh
exactly
to them.
Yeah.
It's like when your partner's been on hot, if you've not seen your partner for like 2 weeks,
yeah,
and you like have a really nice reunion. I think that's what was interesting. We learn, it's kind of peppered throughout the film, and we learn at the end they've experienced loss together. I believe they've experienced child loss, although it's never explicitly said. They've been together since they left school. They've had a really tough life. They're living in this kind of version of the future where there's been no rain. And then some kind of distressing stuff comes to light, whereby actually Paul Mescal, the real one, seems to be quite controlling and doesn't let her play music, like kind of some sick stuff like that. But all that aside, we don't know, like the twist in the film is that he's actually the clone the whole time that we're watching. And I will never, as long as I live, forgive you for ruining that for me.
But I thought we'd covered this off, sorry.
No, we haven't.
Is this the... Well, don't worry. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have you clone from before the point that this happened.
Okay.
So then our relationship will be restored again.
But what about like 2 months ago when you ruined the entirety of Hijack for me by giving out about it the whole time while I loved watching it?
Well, then you did the same for me for the bear, so we're even.
But anyway... I think what was really good about this, like any good sci-fi, is when there's a concept that is explored through characters' relationships. What threw me off and what just drags the film down for me a bit is the going to space, world is limited resources. All that bit didn't matter. Like they wasted time on that.
Well, it's backdrop. No. But it didn't. It never mattered. You just thought that it was going to matter to the movie. But it's
but
just
it matters
that,
to me, the viewer.
No, but in the end, the movie that we got, it didn't matter. And what did matter was, you know, this new entity that they created, which was an experiment. Like, we don't even realize, because he says it so offhandedly halfway through the film, by the way, we're going to make this bio thing. So we, as viewers, are like, oh, so this is just par for the course. But it's a brand, it appears to be a brand new experimental thing. There's people there drinking champagne and toasting the success of this thing. That's what the movie's about. It's about creating life, and it being so convincing. And there's parallels to artificial intelligence here a little bit that's happening right now, where we're in a race to create very convincing, you know, beat the Turing test and create intelligence that can fool people of humans, that it's a human. This entity, whatever, convinced, you know, it made Hen fall in love with it. And also what's interesting is, but like you mentioned, this pairs well with the creator potentially, and I think this is a lot more interesting than the creator. It addresses all of these issues full on.
Well, like, no, but this is slightly different because this isn't AI, this is a clone.
But it's the same thing. It's like we human beings invented life. In that movie, they created robotic artificial intelligence. In this movie, they created biological replica with somebody else's memories.
And, could you imagine there was two Paul Mescals in the world? Like, what a world it would be.
But what's so interesting is, like, there's so much going on here that you can tackle. Nature versus nurture. Like, those two people are, by all accounts, like identical, but the older, the quote unquote real one, is, as you pointed out, very, very different because of lived in experience, because of those 10 years of you know, living with his wife and the spark going away or whatever it is, or just being like worn down by life. That newer version of him doesn't have that. It's more philosophical, it's more quizzical, but
it's more young. It seems like a younger person. Like, he's even like, let's go away, let's go somewhere new, let's do something. He's not like, this is our house now and we have to stay in our house because we built a life for ourselves here. And I think the new one might know about the child loss. I think they mightn't have given him that memory.
I mean, I didn't really get that from the text. But
I completely got it because she was kept by this tree and like pouring water on it, and I said to you, I think they have a kid buried there.
Yeah. No. I think it could make really sense and it would
and
fit the narrative really well. But I don't
think our family's buried on this land.
I know, but I don't think the movie gives you enough to draw that conclusion. But I think you're right. It would make perfect sense and would really inform the story even more. But
yeah.
I don't know.
Really,
I didn't explicit. At no point was I like, oh, okay, they definitely went through that. But I can see that happening.
Yeah.
You know.
I think this film needs to be watched. I've got a 4-movie binge that you need to do. Back to back, all the same day. Okay?
Okay, go.
So, The Creator.
Yeah.
Megan.
Yeah.
Multiplicity.
Multiplicity.
And then this.
You think Multiplicity is the definitive clone movie from This is better than all those movies in terms of like actual subject matter and like addressing, like, that's what's so interesting about the symbolism of the insect. And
I didn't get the insect
here's,
stuff.
Well, here's my take on it. That both the, you know, quote unquote clones that we see in the movie, whatever you want to call them.
I want to call them quote clones.
Are both fascinated by this life. And don't, in both instances, they're expected to, the humans want to destroy it. So, the Saoirse Ronan, the human, the first time that they encounter this bug, she says, oh, we probably have an infestation. I'm going to go check our room. She's on the hunt to get rid of these things. Paul Mescal, the clone version of him, is staring at it. He's enamored by it. And he wants to preserve it, protect it. It's so still. And it's the same exact reverse situation later. She's looking at it. She's enamored by it. And then Paul Mescal comes along and crushes it. And what's another line in the movie earlier? Saoirse Ronan acknowledges that the whole reason that all of this is happening is because humans took from the world. You know, what did he, you know, Terrence says something like, you know, the world has given us, you know, he's doing his marketing spin through the whole movie. The world has given us all it can. She says, no, we take it. So that's what's interesting, is that human beings take and destroy this new form of life that we have created. Seems to perceive things differently. They also seem to be quite disgusted by snots.
I love that.
That was an incredible monologue.
Okay, so first of all, like, I think Paul Mescal should win every Oscar anyway, but like, you know the way when they always do the Oscars, like a monologue,
oh,
and it's
that's
like
the Oscar moment.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like, yeah, they're talking about this really intense, like, grief or like incident or like this violent thing that happened to them, and in this one you think that's going to happen, and then he's just like, there's snots on tissues and plates, and like, body, he's so disgusted by bodily functions.
But right, that's because he
is a robot.
Well he's not, I don't think there's,
no,
he's not a robot, but whatever he is apart from humans, and he is observing them. He even says the words, I observed, you know, I've been observing people. He says it as somebody who is detached, like,
yeah,
an alien. And they are different. Human beings are different to him, and they're disgusting to him. So what I'm saying is, the movies that you've all linked, and the creator, which refuses to address anything in a meaningful way, but is an entertaining, a good-looking movie. But that's the whole idea of human beings create new life that has its own right to exist. And just like Paul Mescal crushes the bug, the new life that they create, we celebrate and we toast it and we cheers each other, and then we wrap it in a plastic
that
bag
was sick.
And kill it and send it to be studied.
That, like, last scene, no, the worst part is Davey wasn't even being killed. They're going to keep him alive and just test on him forever.
Oh, you're right.
That's why they put the air hole in. It was harrowing. And I think her screaming outside, the real Paul Mescal, who kind of comes in laughing at the beginning, and then he's like, what the? He's kind of like, I think he's more disturbed by his wife's reaction to the scene than the actual scene. It also made me think, okay, clearly he did go to space for a year, for what, I don't know. But the real thing was actually what was happening in their home. Why was there only like one guy who just spent all his time there? I'm a bit confused by the mechanics of it all, but
I can answer that.
Why?
Well, I can give you the answer, I think. Everyone, when this is all a success, everyone comes over and pats him on the back, slaps him on the back. He is the
mastermind.
He's the mastermind.
Yeah.
He is the what's his name from Ex Machina character with the beard, the handsome guy that everyone loves.
Oscar Isaac.
He's the Oscar Isaac mad scientist character. This is his invention. That's why he's personally there. That's why he's also just like that Oscar Isaac character. He's a kind of eccentric and quirky. I thought he was a fascinating character.
And he changed so much as the film went on.
Yes.
Like, I found him fascinating to behold. And it was like, he got really kind of very disrespectful towards Paul Mescal as the film went on, because he's obviously like, I made you, you're not even real. Yes. So I thought that was all very interesting.
It's the kind of movie I'd love to watch again, and with that, with the lens, I think it would be a really rewarding second viewing,
where,
because the way he looks at him is kind of, there's a curiosity and a respect and a fascination,
also ownership.
But also exactly.
But there's a point, remember, where he like puts his mouth over Paul Mescal and like knocks him out, and other
I think
people
that
are in
was
the room.
Paul Mescal's dream. But actually, now that you mention it, probably what did probably it. Did happen.
But then how was he? Yeah, it was all like all that stuff I want to rewatch again, and I love then like I absolutely love. Like we get a sense that their marriage hadn't maybe been that happy, but then we actually see them. And like the first night Paul Mescal's back and he's literally like, you cheated on me. And then they hear the rain outside and she's so happy. She's spinning around in the rain. And he puts her down. He's like, look at you. And he just walks in again. And it's just that. And she's like, I do not belong here. And then she leaves in the blank letter that she talked about earlier in the film, which I was like, yay, fist in the air. Like, you go, girl.
That's great.
And then I love that Paul Mescal then makes a clone of her.
Yeah, it's hard. That's chilling. I found it really chilling.
And
yeah.
he puts her back in her box because he's like, I didn't. Once she learned how to play the piano, I didn't know who she was. And like, basically, once she wasn't like a 17-year-old schoolgirl who was like in his thrall and he couldn't control her. So that was very sinister. And then, but I really liked that our last shot was like her on the airplane leaving. And I thought there was a bit of hope in the end of the film between the rain and her getting, because he was like, she'd never go on an airplane. And she's like, well, you've never been on one either.
But she says that in a voiceover, you know, I had to become a different person. She changes. But that's what human experience is. We change. And that's why they both change. They were different people at the beginning of their marriages to where they are now.
But nobody,
she's a different person again.
They both want the other person to be. They both want them it to have been okay that they change, but not that the other one's changed.
Yes,
because she doesn't like the new him and he doesn't like the new her. Yeah. They don't go together anymore.
Exactly.
And that happens when people end relationships and everyone in a relationship is like, but at the beginning it was great and this film's fascinating. So it's exploring beginning versus ending of relationships. It's exploring kind of post-apocalyptic stuff, very lightly though.
Not like, really.
Really in the background.
Not really.
And then it's just exploring the many talents of Paul Mescal.
It's a very like small human movie. Like it's about the human experience, I think, underneath all of this. And I think it's a really interesting, because all the stuff I said a minute ago about is quite cynical. Mm-hmm. Like I think it doesn't explore the environmental stuff, but it's a backdrop which is important to humanity's most destructive qualities, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, for sure.
But it also celebrates humanity, like Saoirse Ronan, who becomes our main. It's funny because we're kind of Paul Mescal is kind of our protagonist, or the clone of him is our protagonist for the movie. But then it shifts focus to her and her experience, and you realize she is, you know, very. She represents the best of humanity.
Yeah.
You know, she's out in the rain. That's the best of humanity.
I love Saoirse Ronan.
With your hands up.
I haven't seen her. I don't think I've seen her in the cinema in a couple of years. For whatever reason, I've not seen her in a couple of years.
She's wonderful.
She's unbelievable. Like, she's so talented. Anyway, we need to go. We're home. We're literally sitting in our driveway like two creeps on a stakeout of our own home. So let us know what you thought about this film if you've seen it. I hope people have seen it. And I think a lot of people might like it, because I went on to IMDb there to Google the name of the third actor because I couldn't remember who he was. And I saw the Rotten Tomatoes. Guess what it is?
I don't know. 86?
24%.
What?
I know, right?
What, from the audience or the critics?
I don't know. It just popped up as 24% Rotten Tomatoes.
Bet you it's audience. Bet you 24% audience. Bet you 92% critics.
Okay.
I've spoken on this podcast before that I think Rotten Tomatoes is a load of shite.
This is really interesting. I'm also
fascinated by it.
This is really interesting while everyone listens to me go back to something that I was just on and I've already forgotten. Yep. So, Rotten Tomatoes. 24% the tomato meter audience score not tracked yet because it's only just been released. So the critic score is 24% and the audience score isn't tracked yet.
Yeah, but how many... This is really boring.
Okay, this is so boring. Anyway... Tell us what you thought. I hope you saw it. I hope you enjoyed it, or at least were a bit tickled by it. Come over to patreon.com/thecinemile, where we're doing a ton of TV stuff at the moment. We've just reviewed all of The Fall of the House of Usher. We are about to review Bodies on Netflix, which we're enjoying. And we are also talking about celebrity documentaries. There's a lot of them over there. We're talking Beckham. We're talking Arnold. We're talking supermodels. Yeah. We're talking about House of Kardashian. We're talking about the Mary Tyler Moore one. I've watched a lot of them. So that's why we're doing a celebrity special.
That's
special.
Not there yet. I don't think we're going to have time to do that by the time this comes out.
It's coming out.
It's coming
out.
Yeah, very, very soon. The Fall of the House of Usher, all of that is there.
We're also just about to watch The First Wives Club. So this is a good time to come over to our Patreon, and we have 7 days free trial. So see you over there.
Not to mention, you can go on, you can scroll back. If you join our Patreon, scroll back, you get about 50 retro movie reviews. You get like loads of full seasons of television that we've covered.
Hundreds of episodes.
Oh, and For All Mankind's coming back.
Yes.
Season 4 in a few weeks. So we'll be doing weekly episodes on that.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Whatever we decide, we'll be together.